Rishus Abimori. I also want to acknowledge all of those who came tonight. We know that it's Chanukah, that it's a family time. People have all sorts of family celebrations, as they should. And we're very appreciative, President Mrs. Joel, the Rabbanim, Rabbi Sokoloff, for all of his assistance and support. My Talmidim from the yeshiva, their presence here means a great deal to me. My Talmidim from the other shiurim, the Monday night, the Tuesdays, both Tuesdays. And not only Talmidim, but all of them, friends and people who mean so much to us. And of course, people from this kehila, people who no longer live here but are here, people who have always been here, who are really like a second and extended family to my mother and to all of us. So we really appreciate, just to begin by acknowledging, we know that it's a night in which most people are home and with family, and we appreciate the special kavod that is being given my mother this evening. When thinking what topic to discuss this evening, I was really faced with two obvious choices, both of which are both extremely relevant generally and especially to my mother's life. The first one, of course, the theme of Kibud Av V'Em, which Rabbi Sokoloff mentioned before, that's the focus of tonight's shiur. But of course, the fact that my mother's patira took place on Chanukah is not something which is lost upon any of us. It really was, she enjoyed all of the chagim because she enjoyed any time in the framework of the family. But there's no question that Chanukah was a very special holiday for my mother. You know, right after lighting the candles, she was off to the piano for her, you know, specialty ma'os tzur. And even last year, when things were very, very difficult, and it was hard for her to get around, still we encouraged her and she still made it to the piano. So what I thought I would do tonight was focus on Kibud Av V'Em, and then in my remarks to the end, just try to make a connection, at least a quick one, to Neros Chanukah and the holiday of Chanukah, which was so beloved to her. It's evident when we examine, even cursorily, the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Em, the obligation to give respect, and of course the twin obligation of Mora Av V'Em, of fear or reverence for a parent. It's obvious that this is a very central mitzvah, that this is a linchpin in the Torah itself. The very placement, the context in which this mitzvah is treated, highlights very dramatically the central role that it plays. It's undeniable that Kibud Av V'Em is not merely a standard mitzvah, as important as every standard mitzvah is. After all, it appears in the Aseres Hadibros, that already establishes it in highly elite, rarefied company, but not just in the Aseres Hadibros, but as the transition from the first Luchos to the second Luchos, some people think from the focus on Bein Adam LaMakom to Bein Adam LaChavero. The Minchas Chinuch has an interesting discussion whether Kibud Av V'Em really is primarily Bein Adam LaMakom or Bein Adam LaChavero, an issue which we'll certainly touch upon depending on how much time, maybe a little bit more this evening, so that it's not only in the Aseres Hadibros, but it is the pivot, one might say, in the Aseres Hadibros. And a pivot, a transition, reflects on both of the connections, that which came before, and that which comes subsequent. Leman yarichun yamecha, the special promise of longevity, which is given with respect to Kibud Av V'Em, is rare. The Gemara says in Masechet Chulin that a result of this particular promise, Kibud Av V'Em is one of those rare mitzvos, shematan scharam b'tzeda. The Torah itself spells out what the punishment and what the reward is, and it's not the business even of Bezin Shalmata, of the court system, to get involved. The implication of that being that Kibud Av V'Em is so fundamental, it's so definitional, that it's even beyond reward and punishment. It is its own reward and punishment. The role that it plays, the function that it serves itself, is self-explanatory and self-defining. Not only the Aseres Hadibros, that certainly would be enough. Kibud Av V'Em also appears in a second crucial context, in Parshas Kedoshim. The Ramban and Rashi, each in a different way, explain that Parshas Kedoshim is the Parsha which delineates Gufei Torah, all the major principles of the Torah. The Ramban has a suggestion that it is a parallel to Aseres Adibros, the link between Kabeda Savicha V'Asimecha and Ish Ovi V'Imo Tiro, the Shamsosai Tishmoru, which appears in Parshas Kedoshim, is one of the reinforcing proofs of the Ramban's idea about this parallel. It's fascinating that both in the Aseres Adibros and in Parshas Kedoshim, Kibud Av V'Em is linked with another foundation of the faith, another tenet of the faith, Shmiras Shabbos, Hashabsosai Tishmoru, in the context of Kedoshim, and of course, the obligation of Shmiras Shabbos in the Aseres Adibros. And again, the question is, why is Kibud Av accorded this kind of special status and stature? According to Rashi, Kibud Av V'Em is not only pivotal post-Matan Torah in the context of the Aseres Adibros, but as part of the prequel of Torah as well. In Mara, when Klal Yisrael were given a glimpse, and one might say, the indispensable tools to prepare so that they would be worthy of and be able to fully appreciate and assimilate the benefits of Matan Torah, they were given a select group of mitzvos. According to Rashi's count, alongside, once again, Shabbos, the patterns are unmistakable, Paraduma and Dinim, Paraduma representing Chukim, Dinim representing civil law, an indispensable aspect of real life, Shabbos, of course, Zeche L'Masa Bereshis, the other one, Kibud Av V'Em. So that in these three contexts, just by placement alone, even if we didn't examine any of the halachos, any of the statements, any of the philosophical implications of Kibud Av V'Em, we would already know that Kibud Av V'Em is singular, that its status is different than other mitzvos. Clearly, it plays a role which is sui generis, which is unique. If that's true, so I think it would be interesting, or one would think that it would be interesting, to examine the role of Kibud Av V'Em in a classical halachic context, and to see whether or not, or how it fares, and whether its status in that context is similar to, parallels, other mitzvos, and if not, in what way. What I have in mind is the following issue. In halachic life, in Torah life, sometimes situations arise which are anomalous. Sometimes we can't always encounter the ideal, and there's a clash between different halachic values and considerations. Sometimes reality dictates that one can't fulfill all taryag mitzvos at the same time, and a difficult decision needs to be made. When an asay clashes with another asay, or a lav with another lav, or an asay with a lav, the halacha establishes rules how to navigate that conflict. Right? We're not in a state of paralysis. The halacha gives us, right, a system of priority. What do we do in a situation where there's a clash between different values, different ideals, different imperatives? We have a rule, for example, asay dochalos asay, a positive commandment overrides a negative commandment. However, an asay does not override a lav in an asay. If you have a negative and a positive commandment, that will take priority over only, on the other side of the ledger, positive commandment. We have another rule, mostly which we accept. A mitzvah asay can be docheh lo asay, can override a lav, a negative commandment, but not one which is so chamur that carries with it the prohibition of kares. Right, a kind of death penalty. There are all sorts of rules. Wouldn't it be interesting to try to examine what happens when Kibud Av V'Em clashes with one of these other mitzvos in the Torah? Do we treat it the same way that we treat any other clash? Or is it different? If so, how different? We would have anticipated, without any information and any knowledge, given the brief introduction of a moment ago, my prelude, I would have thought that either we treat the clash between the obligation of Kibud Av V'Em and some other mitzvah or prohibition in the Torah as we do any other conflict between mitzvos, or if anything, if it's going to be different, It's going to be even more compelling because it's more central. It's a linchpin. It's part of the Aseret HaDibros. It was part of the prequel of Mara. It's in Parshas Kedoshim, the Parsha of Gufei Torah. And consequently, if there's going to be any deviation, if there's going to be any change, it's going to be L'chumra. We're going to treat Kibud Av V'Em with greater weight as a more compelling mitzvah. We would expect one that even overrides some of the normal rules. Either it's standard or it's going to be more chumra. However, lo and behold, otherwise we wouldn't have the shir, if we look at the evidence, the exact opposite appears to emerge. The Gemara Masechet Yevamos, which is the Gemara that we happen to be learning in our yeshiva this year, the Gemara Masechet Yevamos tells us as follows. Gemara talks about Yibum, which is not our topic this evening, but the Gemara says, the Gemara is discussing what the rules of Ase Dochalos Ase Sheish Bakares, if you have a positive command and it comes up against a negative command, but one which is so chamur that it has kares. So the Gemara says, Lo Itzrich. The Tanya, Yachal Yehei Kibud Av V'Eim Docha Shabbos. One might have thought that if Kibud Av V'Eim conflicts with Shabbos, let's say your father or your mother tells you to violate Shabbos in order to accomplish some benefit on their behalf, something which during the week you would certainly be obligated to do, but now the imperative of Kibud Av V'Eim clashes with Isur Malacha on Shabbos, so you might think that you should do it. Talmud Lomar, Ish imo v'aviv tiro, v'ashabsosai tishmoru, kulchem chayavim bikvodi. Since the same pasuk it says, Ish aviv imo tiro, the obligation to fear your parents, and then it says, v'ashabsosai tishmoru, so that smichus, that connection tells us there's a limit to the mitzvah of Kibud Av V'Eim. You don't violate Shabbos for Kibud Av V'Eim. And the succinct formulation of the Gemara, which is so crucial here, Kulchem chayavim bikvodi. After all, everybody owes kavod to the Rabbanu Sholem, and that overrides the kavod that you have to give to your parents. So the Gemara says, My lav de omerle shchotli basheli, the tam of the kosav rachmana shabsosai tishmoru, halav hachi dachi. The Gemara says a remarkable thing. The Gemara says, it seems that in Kol HaTorah Kula, we don't accept this lahalacha, but at this point the Gemara says, in Kol HaTorah Kula, a mitzvah saseh will override a mitzvah lo saseh, even a mitzvah lo saseh sheyesh bakares, with the exception of the mitzvah saseh of Kibud Av V'Eim. That mitzvah runs into a wall, kulchem chayavim bikvodi, and therefore you can't violate Shabbos. But another mitzvah saseh, at this point the Gemara thinks, that would violate, because otherwise we don't need a pasuk to tell you that Kibud Av is limited. Kibud Av is limited because it's an exception to the rule. In other words, this Gemara is telling us that the rules that dictate the relationship between, right, conflicting imperatives concludes that Kibud Av V'Eim is on the short end. Kibud Av V'Eim is more limited, is less able to override other prohibitions. Very strange. Then the Gemara goes a step further, even more remarkable. The Gemara says maybe this pasuk isn't referring to the violation of an av malacha, which has the penalty of kares, bones, soser, building on Shabbos, doing one of the 39 avos malacha. Maybe when the Torah says, ish avivi mo tiro v'shabsosai tishmoru, maybe what the Gemara really has in mind is the malacha, not the malacha, well, the category of mechamer, for another time. Mechamer achar behemto, which is not a capital offense, it's only a lav. So then the Gemara says, that's even more remarkable. So what is the pasuk saying? Ish avivi motiro, right? There's this obligation to fear your parents, to respect them, to do things for them. But if you run into machamer on Shabbos, which is only a lav, mind you, right? Then you don't fulfill the obligation of kibud av v'eim, of mora av v'eim. So the Gemara says, could that be? El dekaimelon osi asei, v'dachi lo sasei, ligmer mehoche delo lidchi. This would then dictate that it seems that there's an exception to the rule of asei dochalos asei. Normally we say a positive commandment overrides a negative commandment. If it has kares, that might be an exception. Otherwise, it certainly does. That's the rule. How could it be that kibud av v'eim cannot even override a regular lav one without a capital punishment. Finally, the Gemara concludes, Ela mishum de'ika lemifrach. Malahanach shekein hechsher mitzvah. The reason that kibud av'eim is not able to override even a regular lav, in other words, in even more dramatic fashion than the previous example, kibud av'eim seems to be more limited, less compelling, less able to override other mitzvos than a regular mitzvah. The reason that is true is because it's merely a hechsher mitzvah. It isn't a mitzvah gufo, it's not an inherent organic mitzvah. It's merely the preparation or the means or the vehicle to accomplish something else. That's the Gemara's suggestion. In the end, the Gemara partially goes back on this idea, but not fully. In other words, what emerges from here are two points in the Gemara, one with regard to lav sheyesh bakares, the other with respect to the general rule of aseh dochalos aseh, in which either invoking the rule, kulchem chayavim bekvodi, everybody obligated in kvod shamayim, not just, as opposed to, he overrides even kvod horim, parents, and the idea of hechsher mitzvah, the Gemara is suggesting that kibud av'eim is less able to overcome than other mitzvahs. Let's take it a step further. The Rambam, in Hilchos Mamrim, we'll discuss that placement in a moment, Perek Vav Halacha Yud Beis, says a remarkable thing, quoting this halacha. The Rambam says, Misha omala aviv lavra al divrei Torah. The man, right, confronts a situation where his father commands him to violate the Torah. Bein she'omar lavra al mitzvah lo sasei, o levatel mitzvah sasei, even if he only tells him to refrain from fulfilling a mitzvah sasei. That's all he asks him to do. And then the Rambam adds, afilu shel divreim, even if the mitzvah that he asks him to refrain from doing is only a rabbinic, he tells him not to light to Neros Chanukah. Okay. Hareza lo yishamalo, he shouldn't listen to him. Shenemar ish imo v'aviv tiro v'shabsosai tishmoru, kulchem chayavim bechvodi. The Rambam quoting this Gemara, kulchem chayavim bechvodi, everybody has to give kavod to the Rabbono Shel Olam, and therefore, even if it's only an aseh against an aseh, or even an aseh against the mitzvah derabanan, kibud av'eim does not trump even that. Wow. Number one, even before we get to the biggest chiddush of all, how does the Rambam know that a mitzvah saseh of kibud av'eim doesn't override another mitzvah saseh? The Gemara only went as far as to say that aseh doesn't violate a lav in an aseh. In Bava Metzia, we'll get to that in a moment, l'maskana. How do we know that an aseh doesn't override another aseh? In fact, the Rambam in Hilchos Yibum, I'm not going to discuss this extensively now, but in Perek Vav, in a similar or parallel situation, talks about the mitzvah of Yibum, the mitzvah of to go ahead with Yibum in a certain circumstance, and says that if the impediment is a mitzvah saseh, and you actually go ahead and you violate, the Yibum will be chal. Question is, doesn't there seem to be a contradiction between the Rambam's view about kibud av'eim and his perspective on Yibum? More to the point, the Rambam says something quite remarkable here. If the mitzvah of kibud av'eim, right, is counterpoised against the mitzvah d'rabbanan to read the Megillah, to light Chanukah candles, it won't override even that. How could that be? The Kesef Mishnah invokes the famous view of the Rambam. Rambam in general elevated the status of the Rabbanans based on the concept of Lo Sasur. He thinks that this Rambam is connected to that Rambam. I have some doubts. Apparently, so did the Kesef Mishnah himself. In his later work in the Beis Yosef, on the Shulchan Aruch, on the tour, he has another suggestion. He says, since the Torah uses the expression Ani Hashem in the Pasuk dealing with Kibud Av'eim, apparently, Kvod Shamayim has a special connection to Kibud Av'eim. And the prohibition of refraining from doing a Derabanan also constitutes, in some respect, a lack of Kvod Shamayim. That's all very well and good. It just begs the question. Why does Kibud Av'eim seem to be more sensitive to the problem of Kvod Shamayim than any other mitzvah? This seems to be a chiddush in Hilchos Kibud Av Ve'Em. Basically then, we have three or four examples already where Kibud Av Ve'Em seems to be treated as inferior to other mitzvos in its ability, in its capacity to override other mitzvos. And the question is why. The enigma is even greater. The Gemara says in Kiddushin Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph that if there's a conflict between the kavod of a father and a mother, then the child is supposed to give precedence to the father because the mother has an obligation to be mechabed the father as well. So the Balei Tosas ask, if that's true, why do we even need the pasuk ish aviv v'imo tirov es shabsosai tishmoru? Don't you and your father and your mother all have the obligation to honor the Ribbono Shel Olam? In which case, just like the honor of the father takes precedence over the honor of the mother, it's clear that the honor of the Ribbono Shel Olam, who is owed loyalty both of the father and the son, should take priority. Why do we need a pasuk to tell us that din? Now that question of Balei Tosas highlights the opposite perspective. Till now we've seen evidence that Kibud Av Ve'Em is less compelling, it doesn't have the ability to override even what most mitzvos aseh can override. Now, all of a sudden, we see that it's a little more complex than that. There seems to be evidence on both sides of this question. Because we need a pasuk to tell you that even though kulchem chayavim v'kvodi, right, that Kibud Av Ve'Em is set aside for kavod shemayim. Let's take it a step further. Also on the other side of the ledger. The Gemara Matzachet Bab Metzia, Daf Lamed Beis, talks about a case where a father orders a son to be a kohen, to be metame lemesim in order to do something for him, or to refrain or to violate the obligation of Ashava Saveda in order to accomplish something on his behalf. So the Gemara says that is prohibited. You have to follow the halakha, even if it means overriding your father's authority. But that's based on the pasuk. Again, ish aviv v'imo tirov v'eshab sosai tishmoru. So the Gemara says, why do we need a pasuk? These cases are cases where there's an aseh and a lav. There's a positive commandment and a negative one. Everybody seems to agree to the rule that aseh is doche lav, but ein aseh doche aseh v'lav. So just plug in the regular rules, let it conform to general principles, and you don't need a pasuk to tell you this din. So the Gemara has the following idea. The Gemara says, Solkadaita Chamina, I might have thought that, I'll read the exact line, Havamina, Tzayasle, Vamai, Hayase, Vahai, Losase, Vase, Itztrich. Solkadaita Chamina, Ho Vahukash, Kibura Ve'Aim, Lekvodo Shomakom, Shenemar, Ki Kabed Esavicha Vislimecha, Venemar Kabed Es Hashem Mehonecha, Hilkach Litzayasle, Kamashmlandalo Lishmale. The Gemara here says one might have thought that you can violate Kvod Shemayim because Hushvu Kvodo Lekvod Shemayim. The respect accorded to a parent is actually equated with the respect that is given to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Kabed es avicha v'yasimecha, kabed es Hashem mehonecha. And therefore, one would have thought that Kibud Av Ve'Em is a roller coaster, it's a juggernaut, it can override even where others cannot. Kamash malon, there are limits even to Kibud Av Ve'Em. This, of course, is exactly the opposite of the Gemaras in Masechet Yevamos. Let me take it a step further. So far we've seen evidence on both sides of the ledger. The Balei Tosas go further. They want to have their cake and eat it too. The Balei Tosas say as follows, trying to navigate some of these evidence, a little late so I'll not read it inside. They say, on the one hand, the idea that Kibud Av Ve'Em would override something which has a lav and an aseh, they say that makes a great deal of sense. After all, in the context of Kibud Av Ve'Em, the mitzvah saseh on the other side of the ledger is kehutra legamri, it's keman delesa. It doesn't match up with the power, with the force, right, with the compelling character of Kibud Av Ve'Em. So really, you should say that the aseh of Kibud Av Ve'Em can override even an aseh and a lav, even though that transcends the normal rules. However, the idea that you might think that kibud av ve'em would allow you to violate a lav sheyesh bakares, which is another exception to the normal rules, that is such an absurd idea, say the Baalei Tosfos, that there never ever was a thought in the Talmud. There's no need for a pasuk to tell you that kibud av ve'em cannot violate kares. In other words, Tosfos goes from one extreme to the other. In the end of the Baalei Tosfos, they say something even more remarkable. They say as follows. If we were to accept the idea that kibud av ve'em is so unique that it can break the rule and override even a lav and an aseh, which most essen cannot, that would be fine. But if we decide that that isn't true, namely, if we decide that kibud av ve'em is not more compelling than other mitzvos, then probably the best conclusion to reach is not only that it's a standard mitzvah, but that it's inferior to other mitzvos in its ability to override. And we should come to the conclusion that even if there was only one aseh against a lav, the rule of ein aseh, the rule of aseh, dochelos aseh, would not apply to kibud av ve'em. To make it simple, we started off with some evidence that kibud av ve'em is incredibly central, foundational to Yahadus. L'man arichun yamecha, ani Hashem, where it's placed. One would expect that it would be equal or stronger than other mitzvos. And yet, the Gemara Nivamos and a few other Gemaras seem to imply, kulchem chayavim bikvodi, limits kibud av ve'em, makes it less effective than others in overriding. Then we looked at a couple of sources which seem to say exactly the opposite, particularly with regard to the principle of aseh, doche, los aseh, v'aseh. The Gemara there seems to say exactly this idea. Hushvu kvodam l'kvodamakom. Kibud av ve'em is so central that the Rabbonu Sholem himself has to compete with kibud av ve'em. And therefore, it is able to override lavin and esin where a regular mitzvah cannot. Now we encounter the Baalei Tosfos who say that we should be extreme in our application of kibud av ve'em. We should come to the conclusion either that it is atypical in its ability to overcome, right, even when typically, according to the rules, it would be impeded. In other words, it's stronger. But if we don't come to that conclusion, then the conclusion we should reach is not that it's typical, but it's still atypical in the other extreme. Atypical in the other extreme, meaning it's inferior. The regular rule, which always applies, aseh dochelos aseh, will not apply at all to kibud av ve'em, kulchem chayavim bechvodi. In other words, the two extremes that the Gemara uses, kulchem chayavim bechvodi on the one hand, and hushvu kvodo lekvoda makom, this dialectic, according to one view in Tosfos, does not allow for anything but an extreme solution. Either it's much stronger or much weaker when it comes to this question. And the question is why? And of course we have the Rambam. And we have another problem. The Gemara calls kibud av ve'em hechsher mitzvah. And the Baalei Tosfos point out, do we ever find a situation where we treat kibud av ve'em differently when it's not a hechsher mitzvah? For example, in the case of the Gemara, let's say the father needs something. The only way for it to be accomplished is if this fellow doesn't distract himself by doing Hashavas Aveda. In refraining from doing Hashavas Aveda, he's not actually being mechabed of a be'imo. That's the way the Baalei Tosfos understand it. He's just enabling the future possibility. He'll be able to get home more quickly, and then he'll be able to help his father with his eating and his clothing and be mechabed him and so on. That's extra mitzvah. But ask the Baalei Tosfos, and what about a situation where the clash is one where you're actually doing the kibud av ve'em? We don't find anywhere that there's a difference. So the Baalei Tosfos have a following line. They say, well, the nature of kibud av ve'em is that it's a hechsher mitzvah. And therefore, even when you do the mitzvah directly, it doesn't make a difference. It's in the character of hechsher mitzvah across the board. What do we mean by that? I'm going to suggest something. It's not what the Baalei Tosfos suggests. But going forward, I'm going to suggest something like that. In other words, just to sum up, we're confronted with a puzzle, with an enigma, there's a certain dialectic when it comes to kibud av ve'em. On the one hand, we have evidence, hushvu kvodam l'kvod ha'makom, saying this is a mitzvah on a different level, more compelling than others. On the other hand, kulchem chayavim b'chvodi. Bali Tosis point out the whole concept of kulchem chayavim b'chvodi is a problem. Isn't this true of every single mitzvah? Why do we say kulchem chayavim b'chvodi only when it comes to kibud av ve'em? After all, you have a clash. The Torah tells you, who told you to do kibud av ve'em? The Torah. The Torah said, don't do Shabbos. Why is it kulchem chayavim b'chvodi when it's a clash between Shabbos and kibud av ve'em, and not when it's a clash between tzitzis and kelayim? That's another question the Bali Tosis ask. The Bali Tosis give two answers. The first answer they give has nothing to do with us. They say no. Kulchem chayavim b'chvodi has nothing to do with kibud av ve'em. It has to do with violating Shabbos. Because Shabbos is unique. Shabbos is eichal ma'aseh b'reishis. Shabbos has theological overtones. You can't touch Shabbos. Okay. In that light, it's just fascinating that kibud av ve'em always appears in the context of Shabbos. Okay. The second answer of Tosis, far more interesting for our purposes tonight. Tosis says, after all, when it comes to kibud av ve'em, the Torah concludes the pasuk in very rare and unusual form, Ani Hashem. By saying Ani Hashem, we're implying that kvod ha-makom is an aspect, a dimension, which applies specifically to kibud av ve'em, and therefore might limit kibud av ve'em. That's very fascinating, but we need to understand that better. What does it mean that Ani Hashem appears dafka specifically in the context of kibud av ve'em and not elsewhere? Okay. In order to explain all of this, I'd like to step back and analyze kibud av ve'em's role, status, and implications in a broader way, and then we'll come back without going into so many specifics, and we'll suggest a solution to our enigma. As we noted, the context of kibud av ve'em already establishes its centrality. Obviously, this is not just a regular mitzvah. It's not even a regular Aseres HaDibros mitzvah. It's the pivot. It's the transition. It's fundamental to both Bein Adam LaMakom, Bein Adam LaChavero, etc. It's the basis for Arichas Yamim, Mara, Parshas Kedoshim. Not only that, there is an aspect of cursing a parent, which has a special Iser, hitting a parent, prohibitions that apply in other contexts, but are accentuated in the context of a parent. Klala, even la'achar misaso. Rabbi Sokolov, in his introductory remarks, alluded to the idea of kibud av ve'em, even la'achar moso. Remarkable ideas which show that kibud av ve'em isn't just pragmatic. It's not just about being malbish and machil. It's not just about the personal well-being of a parent. Apparently, symbolically, the way that one relates to a parent, b'chayim and la'achar chayim, in words, in orientation, as well as in deeds, is something which is fundamental to being an Oved Hashem, to being a Ben Torah, to the very concept of Kvod Shemayim, as we'll explain. Let me highlight this by simply noting the Rambam's classification. In the Shulchan Aruch, the dinim of kibud av ve'em appear in Yoredeya, in Siman Resh Mem, sandwiched between Hilchos Nedarim and Hilchos Kvod Rabo, the dinim of Talmud Torah. It's a very logical place, placement, context, etc. Not so in the Rambam. In the Rambam, the dinim of kibud av ve'em, remarkably, appear in Hilchos Mamrim. That's remarkable for several reasons. Number one, kibud av ve'em is very central, as we've established. Hilchos Mamrim is the very, 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 very end of the Rambam's Yad HaChazaka. It's not the final section, right? It's close to the final section. It's in the last of the 14 books. Towards the last of that book, Hilchos Mamrim. It's not as if the Rambam didn't have earlier opportunity, right? Hilchos Yesod HaTorah. Even better, Sefer Mada has Hilchos Talmud Torah. Perek Hei, Hilchos Talmud Torah begins, to Perek that is dedicated to Kavod Rabo. It begins, Kashem, just as is an obligation of Kavod and Mora of Ivimo, right? Kach, so too, that's the paradigm for Kavod and Mora Rabba. So Kibud Av Vaim is all the way in the end of Hilchos, in Hilchos Mamrim and Sefer Shoftim, right? Even though Talmud Torah, Kavod Rabbo, which uses it as a model, is right in the very beginning in Hilchos Talmud Torah. Again, in Yoredeya, the two are connected. Actually, Aviv Imo is the introduction to Rabbo, which logically is a more understandable sequence. Why did the Rambam do this? Moreover, what is Hilchos Mamrim? Kishmo Kein Hu. It is exactly what it says. It's the laws of authority. Whose authority? It's really about the authority of Torah, of Halacha, about Bezin HaGadol. The beginning of Hilchos Mamrim, the first three chapters of Hilchos Mamrim, are all about the obligation to listen to the Bezin HaGadol, Lo Sasur, Lo Sosif, all of the fundamental halachic system issues are codified in the Rambam in Hilchos Mamrim. The authority of Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaalpeh, the hierarchies of that authority, etc. Then all of a sudden, in Perek Dalid, the Rambam transitions into Dinei Kibud Av Vaim, Maka Aviv, Mekalal Aviv, then Perek Vav you have Kibud and Mora Aviv, and in Perek Zayin, you have the halacha which, according to one view in the Gemara, is Lahoyev Lo Nivra, never even happened, namely the halacha of Ben Sorer Umora, the rebellious son, which is there, according to some, simply Drosh the Kabel Schar. Right? So the values are critical. What is the dinim of father and mother and rebellious son? What are they doing in Hilchos Mamrim? Why weren't they put in Sefer Mada? Not only that, it's not like they're there tagged on to the end. There are seven chapters in Hilchos Mamrim. The first three are about what we would expect Hilchos Mamrim to be. And the last four are dedicated to Kibud Av Vaim, Mora Av Vaim. Of the mitzvos, basically, you have nine mitzvos, four related to Bezin HaGadol, the authority of Torah, the hierarchy, etc. Five connected with Kibud Av Vaim. In other words, Kibud Av Vaim is not merely there, it dominates Hilchos Mamrim. Almost as if the transition is normal, it's not just we couldn't find a better place, right, to put the dinim of Kibud Av Vaim. What is the idea here? And what is the idea of Ben Sorer Mora, right? Drosh v'kabel skar. Ben Sorer Mora has much in common with at least three, or two rather, of the other three, what we call Dalid, Srichin, Hakraza, places where the Torah says, v'kol Yisrael yishmu v'yiron v'lo yizidu nod, Zaken Mamre, the rebellious elder, right? The Mesis, the instigator to Avodah Zarah. And the one which is a little more problematic, which we're not going to discuss, Eid Zomim. The fourth one is Ben Sorer Mora. Hilchos Mamrim, in other words, is all about the concept of authority. What the Rambam is telling us by this classification is that Kibud Av Vaim, indeed, as we see from its placement in the Torah itself, Kedoshim, Aser Sadibros, Mara, etc., is a linchpin mitzvah. It's a linchpin complex mitzvah that touches on overlapping but interrelated motifs that are crucial not only for Kibud Av Vaim, but for Hilchos Mamrim. They're the transition. There's, after all, the Bezdin, Hagadol, the Chachamim, who run the community of Klal Yisrael. And every family unit, every home, every mishpacha, every neri shubeso constitutes an aspect of that community. And within that community, there's also a concept of samchut, of mamrim. And that Hilchos Mamrim, beginning with klala and hakah, transitioning to mora and kibud, ending beautifully with the concept of ben sora or mora, who literally has to be put to death because he's incorrigible, the family can't control him, the concept of authority is foreign to him. What the Rambam is telling us is that these are two sides of the same coin. And the reason this is so is because of the multiple overlapping, interrelated themes that we talked about. And what are they, very briefly? The first one, the one that Rabbi Sokolov mentioned, Hakaras HaTov. very much a part of the presentation of the Sefer HaChinuch. It's a little late, so I won't read it right now. Hakaras HaTov is not just quid pro quo. Hakaras HaTov is a way of life. It's a perspective, it's a way of interrelating to others. It means that you take a kind of selfless perspective. Somebody who is self-aggrandizing and self-absorbed is not capable of Hakaras HaTov. He thinks things are coming to him, and when he knows that they're not, even more so, he doesn't have the capacity to admit that he owes others, that he's linked to others, that there is life outside of himself. Hakaras Tova is much more than quid pro quo. It's about values. Let's take it a step further. Rabbi Yosef Albo in Sefer Ikarim says that one of the reasons that Kibud Av Ve'Em is so crucial is because Kibud Av Ve'Em is the source of the concept of Mesorah. After all, the whole of Torah Shebaal Peh is based on Mesorah. But again, Mesorah is not just about conveying or transmitting a body of knowledge over generations. Mesorah is a concept and it's a value system. It's a system which means that there has to be certain trust for the chachamim of every generation, for their scrupulous undertaking to transmit faithfully, and parents who bring you into this world, that the teachings that they transmit to you, the truths that they want you to imbibe from the youngest age, the values that they expose you to, that too is part of Mesorah, every bit as much as the tochen of Mesorah, which is of course equally crucial. Kibud Av Ve'Em is the foundation of Mesorah. But it goes even beyond that. Shema b'ni musar avicha, v'al titosh torah simecha. It's the values that you imbibe, but it's also the very concept of authority and the relation of that authority to the ultimate authority. It's fascinating, if you look at the Gemara in Masechet Kiddushin, which deals with Kibud Av Ve'Em, what you find is that the Gemara really is very eloquent about this connection. And initially one might have thought that it's just a Divrei Agada, but the Gemara keeps repeating it, and the Rambam and others codify it. Tan Rabbana, Ne'emar kavedus avicha v'yatsimecha, v'ne'emar kavedus Hashem mehonecha. Hishva kasuv Kibud Av Ve'Em, l'kvod ha'makom. Once again, ish imo v'yaviv tiro, v'nemar s'Hashem alokecha tira v'osot ta'avod, hishva kasuv moras av, v'aim l'moras ha'makom. Again, mekalel aviv imo mos yumas, ne'emar ish ish ki yekalel alokav v'nasachat aso, hishva kasuv birchas av, v'aim l'birchas ha'makom. The chen bedin, that's the way it should be, says the Gemara, because on the surface, this is scandalous. It's sacrilegious. The Ribbono Shel Olam transcends everything. How can we compare anybody, anything to him? It sounds like it's on the borderline of Shituf Chas V'Shalom. But the Gemara doesn't see it that way. The Chaim Bedin, Sheshloshton Shutfim Bo, there are three partners in man. Shlosha Shutfim Bo Adam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Aviv V'Imo, man, wife, together with the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then the Gemara says, it's very personal. Bizman sh'adam mechabed esav v'simo ma'kadosh baruch hu ma'le'ani aleichem ki'ilu darti b'neim v'chibduni. If you treat your parents properly, kibud av ve'em, that is the foundation for hashroas hashkina b'neichem. And then the Gemara says, Tanya Rebbe Omer, galui v'yadua lifnei mi sh'omar v'ya olam. It's all very personal. Even the language that the Gemara uses, almost poetically, right? The Ribbono Shel Olam knows the innermost secrets of man. And in this case, he's revealing them in the context that is very dear to him. Sheben mechabed es imo yoser meyaviv, shemeshad loso bedvarim, lefika chikta makarish baruchu kibudav lekibudeim, vegali viyadua lefnei mish omar vahya olam, sheben misyari meyaviv yoser meimo. The point is, all of this isn't just divrei agada. The Gemara here is describing the mechayiv of kibudav ve'em. Tani tana kabed Rav Nachman, Bizman sh'adam mitzar esaviv yasimo, when man inflicts pain on his parents, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yafe asisi shelo darti b'neihem. It's a good thing I decided, you know, not to live in that house. She'umali darti b'neihem tziaruni. I would have been suffering and in pain. The Gemara says a very beautiful thing in the continuation here. The Gemara in Daf Lamed Aleph, Rabbi Yosef ki ava shama kol kare de ime, when he heard the footsteps of his mother, Omar, he said, Ekum mekame shchina de asya. Let me stand in the presence of the Shechina. The Gemara has a beautiful, beautiful line here where it says that the Ovdei Kochavim used to say about the Aseres HaDibros, about the Ribono Shel Olam. Let me find it here. The Gemara says, B'shasha Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Anochi V'lo Yielach Lecha Omru Umas HaOlam Lechvod Atzmo Daresh. The Ribono Shel Olam is worried about his own honor. Anochi Hashem Elokecha Lo Yielach Cholokim Alcheirim Alpanai Kivan She'amar Kabed Esavicha V'yasimecha Chazru V'hodu L'mamaros HaRishonos. Once he heard Kabed Esavicha V'yasimecha, then the Umos HaOlam appreciated Anochi Hashem Elokecha. What does that mean? I mean, once the Ribono Shel Olam was willing to share a little kavod with parents, so the Umos HaOlam decided the Ribono Shel Olam wasn't kivyachol, wasn't selfish, and therefore they decided he deserved some kavod too. I think what it means is as follows. This relationship between Gimel Shutfin Ba'adam, this idea of Hushvu Kvodam Lekvodam Makom, is a very difficult concept philosophically, theologically. Precisely because of the problem of transcendence, how are we supposed to reach out and have any appreciation, understanding, connection, relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam? Kadosh Baruch Hu, in an act of chesed, provided us a model and actual access that has great meaning for us and is a foundation for our understanding and appreciation, our ability to develop a relationship with Him. That's exactly what the Gemara in Kiddushin truly means. The Gemara is telling us when a child is born, he's totally dependent on his parents for his life. Life, of course, is made every act of his sustenance, his physical life. And of course, as he grows, that dependence evolves religiously, intellectually, his way in the world, his values, from a religious point of view, his emuna. All of that depends on the household in which he grows up. It depends on it really being a shutfus between Aviv, the Imo, and the Ribono Shel Olam. Moreover, the paradigm, the model for a child of absolute authority, of infallible authority, initially, is a parent. The idea of Ava She'ena Tluya B'davar, somebody who looks out for you, Hashgacha, is a parent. If you look at the Rishonim, I don't have time to develop it right now, we really find different formulations of this. The Ramban in his Perush on Yisro explains it more as an overflow. There's the kavod that belongs to the Ribono Shel Olam, and that overflows into the kavod for the other shutfim, the parents. Very beautiful language. He goes on to say that the idea of Lishma, which is a Ribono Shel Olam concept, also applies to your parents. The idea of acknowledging a parent, not denying a parent and his contributions, just like we have that concept with the Ribono Shel Olam, applies to a parent, a remarkable thing. If you look at the Sefer HaChinuch, you get the impression that it goes the other way as well, the way I described it before. If you want to have initial access to the transcendence of the Ribono Shel Olam, you need that kind of relationship with parents who are trying to imbue Yiras Shamayim, Emuna, the proper sense of samchut, of authority, a proper Hilchos Mamrim. Both of these aspects, knowing when to say Kulchem Chayavim B'Chvodi, knowing when to say Hushvu Kvodam, right, L'Kvodam Makom, both of these aspects are part of that relationship. The Yerushalmi says, Tosis quotes it in Kiddushin, Agos Maimunios quotes it, Kabed as Hashem mehonecha implies a certain financial limitation, per se. If you have money, Kabed as Hashem mehonecha. But they say, Kibud Aveim, Afilu mechazer achar apsachim, even if you have to go out and beg. How could it be? But the point is, sometimes even though the ultimate, of course, is Kavod Hashem. It's Kuchem Chayavim Bechvodi. But in order to be able to develop a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, Kuchem Chayavim Bechvodi, first you need access, you need the kind of environment which is conducive, and that requires Hushvu Kavodam L'Kavodam Makom. So in terms of financial outlay, sometimes the best investment in Kabed Hashem Mehonecha is precisely Kabed Esavicha V'Yasimecha. The Umos HaOlam realized with Kabed Esavicha V'Yasimecha that the Ribbono Shel Olam didn't just want lip service, a little kavod, a superficial acknowledgement of his transcendence, but that he was creating a mechanism through Kabed Avicha V'Yasimecha which would open up Anochi Hashem Elokecha and Lo Yielecha to an entirely different dimension. Even the Umos HaOlam understood and appreciated that. If that's the case, then I think now we can understand all of the issues and complexities that we began with. What do we say? He would have aim, such a linchpin, it should override other mitzvos. It can't be less than other mitzvos in its encounter with conflicting obligations, can it? I mean, it's in Aseres HaDibros, Parshas Kedoshim, it was in Mara, L'man Yarichun Yamecha. How is it possible that it could be inferior? Moreover, at the same time, we're finding evidence that it's superior and inferior, and it seems like it's just not going to be typical, it's going to be one or the other. What kind of business is that? Right? Halacha is not an extremist philosophy. Why can't Kabed Esavicha, if it's not superior, be typical, or if it's not inferior, be typical? However, in light of what we've explained, the dynamic between other mitzvos and Kabed Esavicha V'Yasimecha, it's not superior, it's not inferior, it's simply different. The reason that it's different is because mostly when other mitzvos clash, it's two different variables, two factors, A against B, and then you have to weigh one against the other and the rules and so on. But when it comes to Kvod Aviv V'Imo, its strength is its weakness, and vice versa. The point is, it's simply a dimension of Kavod HaMakom. If we ask the question, how come all of a sudden Kulchem Chayavim BeKvodi, doesn't that apply to Kelayim and Tzitzis? The Bali Tosas say, yes, it's unique, second day of Tosas. It's unique to Kibud Av Ve'Eim because the Pasuk says, Ani Hashem, in Kibud Av Ve'Eim. Meaning, in Kibud Av Ve'Eim, it's not just Kabed Esavicha V'Yasimecha, it's not just Hakaras HaTov. It's Hakaras HaTov because of the role that parents play, because of the Mesorah that they instill, because the model that they are in all of its aspects, Shutfim, the access point, the overflow, and consequently, Ani Hashem tells us that Kvod Hashem and Kvod Horim are two sides of the same coin. Now, when there's a clash between Kvod HaMakom and Kibud Av Ve'Eim, we can understand very well, it's not the normal dynamic. You have to figure out, when you take the bigger picture, is doing the Kibud Av Ve'Eim, is that going to express more Kvod HaMakom in the end? Or on the contrary, the whole idea of Kibud Av Ve'Eim is completely undermined if ever one will think that it's competing with, if it's not an expression of Kvod HaMakom, but it's a competition to Kvod HaMakom, then Kibud Av Ve'Eim is nothing. It's less than nothing. That's what the Gemara said. On the one hand, Kulchem Chayavim B'Kvodi. Even if every other essay could violate Kares, you can't have a Kibud Av Ve'Eim that violates Kares. It's impossible. Maybe, even though normally Asei Dochalos Asei, but maybe not Kibud Av Ve'Eim. We don't pass in that way necessarily. L'halacha, that's a debate, but that's what the Gemara thought. On the other hand, when the Gemara said, you know, there's an Asei and a Los Asei here, usually Asei is not Docha Los Asei V'Asei. But Kibud Av Ve'Eim might be different. Why? It's true, Kulchem Chayavim L'Kvodi, but Hushvu Kvodam L'Kvod HaMakom. We're not talking about violating, we're talking about abstaining from an Asei, and Kibud Av Ve'Eim is Kvod HaMakom. It's an internal thing. And then the Bali Tosas explained, yeah, we have to go one of two extremes here, because we have to determine whether internally following the Kibud Av Ve'Eim is the bigger Kiddush Hashem, the bigger Kvod HaMakom, or not. If it is, then we're going to have the extreme that it even overrides more than other mitzvos, because that's kvod hamakom. That's ani Hashem. If not, then it's going to be less than other mitzvos, because it's not even kibud avim anymore. The whole yesod of kibud avim is kulchem chayavim bekvodi. And perhaps that's a pshat in the Rambam as well. The Rambam felt, even mitzvah saseh, even drabanon, because this isn't the typical clash between an aseh and something else. It's about ani Hashem. It's about kvod hamakom. We've invested so much in kibud avim, it's all this internal question. Therefore the Rambam says, and Beis Yosef I think is right on target, Beis Yosef says, it says ani Hashem, it's about kvod hamakom. Even if you violated drabanon, that's a severe violation of kvod hamakom. Maybe as a maisa, a mitzvah doesn't carry the same weight. That's a different category. But when we talk about kibud avim, that's a different story. Perhaps, not for Bali Tosis, they say something different. When the Gemara says that kibud avim is a hechsher mitzvah, perhaps, at least according to the Rambam, they don't mean when you do kibud avim, you're not yet being malbish, you're not just being machil, and you're a step away, so it's only a hechsher mitzvah. I think what they might mean, according to the Rambam, is the idea that kibud avim itself is a kiyum, an expression of kvod hamakom. And consequently, you can't violate Shabbos, which is about the Bria, actually, celebrates creation for the what? Shutfim in the creation? One of the three? That would just be a stira min ayabe, it would just be an internal contradiction. It makes no sense, and it can't be. It's a hechsher mitzvah. Bali Tosis asks, some cases you're malbish right away. The malbish isn't the point. It's the listening to the parent, it's the relationship of authority, it's a sense of trust which imbues those values. That's what it's all about. And of course it's expressed concretely as Torah laws usually are. But even if it's malbish, even if it's machil, fundamentally kibud avim is hechsher mitzvah with respect to the problems of kulchem chayavim bikvodi. And that's what the Bali Tosis are struggling with. I'm not sure if this is what they really mean. If this is true, the implications are enormous for other issues as well, which we're not going to discuss tonight. What happens if parents don't act properly? Rishoyim. What happens in circumstances where financial issues are involved? What happens in cases, unfortunately, very frequent, where parents become ill, becomes difficult to care for them? How far do you go with that? There are many, many other issues. Depending on your perspective in kibud avim, whether you see this as an extension of kulchem chayavim bekvodi, not merely as a separate factor, but as an aspect of this concept, this idea of kavod hamakom, that will dictate our approach to these questions. I thought this was a perfect topic to speak about in connection with this first yahrzeit, my mother's personality. Firstly, what I've tried to develop is the idea of a kibud avim, which is complex. Mind you, not so much complicated as complex. It has overlapping aspects and dimensions which, at least in my opinion and understanding, reinforce one the other. It's wide-ranging, but in such a way that it doesn't detract from the single-minded focus, from the integrated commitment. Kvod hamakom, what's the best way to accomplish it? Acknowledging that there can be, in life, there are. It's part of what makes life such a gift. Different situations, different dimensions, different approaches, etc. This perspective of kibud avim, I think, is very much what my mother, Zichrona Levracha, was about. The capacity to transmit a Mesorah, to be the Rabbono Shel Olam's shutaf in all of its dimensions and aspects, to provide access to the values of Kavod Shamayim and Emunah, ultimately to be a legitimate vehicle and an appropriate overflow for Kavod HaMakom itself. All of these are daunting challenges for any parent. And each parent and each dynamic of each household is unique and different. My mother, Zichrona Livracha, alongside Avi Mori, Yibodel Lechaim Arukim, acquitted herself magnificently in this role. She transmitted not Rashi's and Tosas's and Rambam's. She grew up in a generation where she didn't really have that kind of opportunity, something which she always lamented. But I wouldn't even say equally crucial, I'd say more crucial. Her Masorah was the Masorah of Menschlichkeit, of Tznius, in the sense of dignity, refinement. I'm going to hear words here which overlap the words of both of my brothers and my father. That's not a coincidence. It's not that we put our heads together, but we lived with the same wife, mother. My mother's unquestioned emuna pshuta, her fierce avas Yisrael, and especially her avas Eretz Yisrael. All of this was something that she came by very naturally from her home and her yichus, but she added a nofech mishala, which in my opinion transcended all of that in dramatic fashion. And that was perspective, balance, warmth, kindness, genuineness, integrity, and of course, and again, it's no coincidence that we use the same words, a whimsical sense of humor. Her sense of humor reflected perspective and balance and insight. In short, she magnificently conveyed Kavod Yirah Shamayim with a Simchas Achayim, a love of life, an exuberance imbued with refinement. She saw the world in very idealistic terms, almost wondrous terms, childlike, not unsophisticated, very sophisticated, and yet childlike, an expression which people use, but which really applied to my mother. Her Masorah was transmitted not with Musar Shmuasin. She wasn't even such a big advice dispenser, to be honest, but naturally, by virtue of who she was, the power of her genuineness, her unselfconscious way was, in my opinion, much more powerful than people, other people, with other ways. It was impactful, it was powerful for being quiet, for being natural. The light and the warm touch were all part of her Masorah. As I said, with regard to Kibud Av V'Em, which is why I feel that it's such an appropriate topic, my mother also was not a complicated person. She was not a conflicted person, although she was an extremely complex and multifaceted person, as you heard earlier. Her commitments were clear. Her priorities were clear. In that sense, she wasn't complicated, and she was never conflicted. She loved her family. She just had amazing joy being in family situations. She had an amazing love for Klal Yisrael. Her last book, my mother was an avid reader, the last book that she read with great exuberance was the book by Yehuda Avner, The Prime Ministers. She'd call practically every day to tell me another anecdote, and she insisted that we all read it, and we all did. She used to say, this is the Israel, you know, that we really grew up with. This is the Israel that we love, not the Israel that we, you know, hear about. It's bashed in the newspapers, sometimes bashed by Israelis, certainly by our own Jewish people. Her love of Eretz Yisrael was fierce. At the same time, while she wasn't complex, her eye was clearly on the things that mattered to her. Her interests were wide-ranging, and so were her talents, reflected both in her vocation and in her avocations. As my father said, she was a mathematician. She loved the elegance of math, the precision of math, the symmetry of math. It was a thing of beauty to her. It was her Ma'arabu Masecha Hashem, although she never expressed it that way, and it would have been pretentious, she would have felt it pretentious to do so, which made it even more powerful. Equally, she originally taught in Toronto English literature. She loved the insight of literature, the nuance of literature, and the unpredictability of literature, alongside the symmetry and the precision of math. She always had a book in her hand, wide-ranging interests. Her language of choice in public family settings as we all know, was poetry. And that really captured who she was. She enjoyed language, the nuances of language, and she had the soul, in many respects, of a poet. She was imbued with a sense of wonder and unquenchable, again, language that my brother used, curiosity. She was a romanticist, somebody who never lost her optimism, even in her illness, which she understood very well. She never lost her optimism. She was always grateful for the fact that there were possibilities. That meant to her more than I can say. For this reason, she was an amazing companion in all endeavors and for people of all ages. My brother in Israel quoted the Gemara in Moed Katan, which is a very apt quotation. There was no generation gap for my adventurous mother. She was truly an adventurous spirit, and the grandchildren will readily attest they felt as comfortable with her as they felt with their friends. She was able to serve multiple functions with integrity and true to herself and the standards of quality that she was drawn to. My mother was someone who was really echad bepev, echad belev. Again, she never would have described herself this way, but she couldn't tolerate hypocrisy. She hated hyperbole. We live in a hyperbolic era. She loved hyperbole only in the context of whimsy and humor. But otherwise, it was something that she found intolerable, distasteful. She was able to be many things and to adjust herself as she should to those things. She had just an unfailing instinct with people. She was reticent and reserved, tsanua, with people who she knew on one level, open as a Rebbetzin, but again, according to her own standards, and her own personality, always true to her own personality on another, and irrepressible and exuberant in the context of family. That wasn't a contradiction. On the contrary, it was the ultimate integrity. People are supposed to adjust to different relationships. My mother was able to do this in seamless fashion. She was able to make these appropriate adjustments to different roles, private, public, family, Rebbetzin, teacher, friend, and yet her integrity and her standards always came through. I was speaking to somebody just the other day, apparently in math now, there's some controversy, they allow calculators, they don't, I don't know the details. One of the fellows in the Beis Medrash, who was one of her Talmidim, in Hank, I used to joke with my mother about our common Talmidim. So he said to me, I was speaking to someone about this the other day, and I said, can you imagine what Mrs. Rosenzweig would have said about this? Her standards of preparation were meticulous. Whenever she taught a new course, she would slave, even though she didn't need to prepare. She had respect for her material, respect for her students. She had respect for the Rabbonu Sholem's world, the world of math, the world of words, the world especially of Torah, and the world of her family. People were drawn to her because they sensed in her a nobility of spirit, yet warmth, her regality, and yet her approachability. As I say, Chanukah was a time that she particularly enjoyed, and in some sense, it constitutes the perfect model for who she was, just very briefly. While Chanukah, we focus on Mahadrin min HaMahadrin, the Lechatchila, almost no one that we know lights one candle, Neri Shubesa. It's just a remarkable thing. Nonetheless, it is fascinating that the standard of Neri Shubeso is halachically retained in some contexts, even within the framework of Mahadrin and Mahadrin. The minag, the halacha, as paskin by the poskim in Shulchan Aruch is, for example, that we start singing Haneros Halalu after we light the first ner. Some actually say Shasanisim after the first ner. Why do we do that? Even though we do Mahadrin min HaMahadrin, it's important that we never forget Neri Shubeso. The concept of the family, the individual performance radiates out from that. That's the reason why there's one Madlik, even according to certain Shittos where that wouldn't make sense. The person who lights the Neri Shubeso should be the person who also continues the lighting. Not our psak according to the Ramah, but according to others. This was very much my mother's life and philosophy. She was a family person. first and foremost, everything radiated out of that. And she had, as we said, a multifaceted life, very involved Rebbetzin, very involved in her students, teaching, friends, etc. But the foundation, the anchor, was very much ish, ner ish ubeisa. And finally, the other theme of Chanukah, which I always think of when I think of my mother, and that is the interrelationship between substance and persume nisa, impact. My mother, as I said before, was somebody who was completely substantive. Standards mattered a lot to her. Quality, didn't matter what it was, a good book, a good poem, a good book, a beautiful flower. She just had an appreciation for things that were done with thought, deliberate, things that were reflected excellence in the Rabbonu Shel Olam's world. For her, the idea of a persume nisa, impact, that some people have without substance, was just an anathema. And that's really what Chanukah is all about. On the one hand, persume nisa like no other holiday, but one which is built on the tochen of hadlakas neiros. Kafsa ein zakakla. If the flame goes out, the flame goes out. If you don't put enough oil in the nair at the onset, even though you keep adding as you go forward, according to most poskim, the persume nisa is the same, but the hadlaka wasn't the same. The hadlaka is the prerequisite for a proper persume nisa. And that's why, indeed, the mitzvah of Chanukah is a mitzvah chavivahi ad ma'od. It's a special mitzvah. Because while it focuses on impact, it does so in a way which highlights substance and standards. As my brother said in his letter, the avelus of a parent is different. It's singular. It's a kriya she'ena misacha. He spoke about the layers. I'll speak about the irrevocability. It's something which you can't repair. You can try to stitch it up, but you don't stitch it up in the same way. Symbolically, it's something that you lost that you can never get back. But as we see from the parshios of Yosef, d'mus d'yukno shel aba, d'mus d'yukno shel ima, can always be lefanecha. And that's, as my brother Judah said so much as well, my father said, the mosif v'holech, that's really the nechama that we take away from all of this. We feel that our loss, like any loss of this type, is irreparable, irrevocable, but at the same time, we have great appreciation for all of these themes and the many more that tznius and my mother's true legacy of tznius dictate that we shouldn't speak about. In the end, the dmus d'yukno is indeed a great nechama. Thank you. Tehei nishmasa tzura b'tzroa chayim.